Hi, welcome to the Hard to Hope podcast. We're your hosts. My name is Megan.
And I'm Sally. And we're here to talk about when it's hard to hope walking with Jesus and walking out our faith.
We're passionate about seeking revival for our generation and believe that a key to that is by pursuing authentic, personal relationship with the Lord, even when it's hard.
So we're here for the journey of taking things from our heads to our hearts. So come along with us and we'll walk it out together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hard to Hope podcast. This is Megan. Sally is not with us today again. She's still busy being a boss lady. But I have with me today Miss Nicole Mosier.
Hello.
I am so excited. I told Nicole that she has been on my list since the beginning. Which, were you shocked by that?
Oh, I'm very nervous about this. I don't know why. I'm trying to just
look at me.
Just look at you. Yeah. And not blush.
We also haven't gotten together in a while.
I know, it's been a while.
So this might become like a catch-up conversation and other people just get to be privy to that conversation.
Oh my goodness, they're so blessed.
Yes, so blessed. Listen, if people heard what we talked about...
Oh my word. You might have to edit us about.
Like, the whole episode's gone. No, but for real, when we like first started the podcast and I made my list of people, you were like on my list. Just because, like, I know part of your story, mm-hmm. and I was kind of telling you beforehand, part of the reason we started the podcast was just to share with people, you know, real stories of people actively going through things, right. And so that was part of the reason, too. I didn't ask you right away, because I was like, I don't know when to ask you, because I know some stuff you are still walking through, right. But you've also processed and walked through a lot of your story already. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, when the opportunity came up that Sally was like, you're going to have to start interviewing more people on your own, like, that's kind of the conclusion we came to. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, I'm going to ask Nicole. I'm going to see if she would be willing to do that. So I'm really excited that you said yes.
Yes.
I'm really happy for people, too.
Yeah, I was really excited when you told me, or asked me, and then all of a sudden, right when I said yes, I'm like, well, what does this mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. What does this mean?
Right.
I don't know. We always just have random conversations. Mm-hmm. Have you, like, shared, like, your Noah story, besides, like social media? Mm-hmm. And did you talk at church?
I went to a church.
Okay.
Yeah. Calvary Assembly of God in Carthage. When they heard about, like, us fighting the medical bills and stuff like that, they stepped in and graciously gave us
seriously?
A huge blessing. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Like, financially?
Yes, a financial blessing.
Oh, wow.
And it just so happened that, you know, a member in their church, he heard about our story.
Yeah.
And he felt that God and his wife, who had just passed, would said that, like,
what?
You need to help. So they didn't know what our amount was. That we needed to pay for these bills.
Wait, I'm, like, getting emotional. I literally didn't know this.
I know.
What?
Yeah, so they came to our house. I know, where did the Jews? There you go. So the pastor came to our house, and he's like, this is a check for you.
Gosh.
And at first, I told him, no, absolutely not. There's no way, you know? And...
Wait, so was this before or after you, like... You spoke at their church, too?
No, after.
Okay.
After we spoke at their church. Actually, even after Lena was born, we spoke at their church.
Wow.
Because I kind of put it off for a while. But, yeah, so he just came to our house, and I don't think they even picked up cookies, because I was doing, like, baking to be able to pay for these bills.
Yeah.
It was thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You know? And especially to pay bills for a baby you didn't get to keep.
Right.
So it was just, like, a double, like, stab, it felt
like.
And so, yeah, so they heard about it, and they literally just came to my house, like the pastor did. And, yeah, he just gives me this check, and at first was like, absolutely not. I am not taking this.
Yeah.
Because, first off, I'm supposed to be making you cookies to give you, you know, like...
You're like, here's a dozen cookies for your drive.
Yeah. And he said, he was like, and also this member said that, if this doesn't cover the cost of the medical bills, he wants to pay all of it. And I'm like...
Nicole, how did I not know this?
I know! Because I didn't share
gosh.
It. I didn't share it. I think, for one, I was, like,
that's
not
wild.
Ready for that. I'm like, no, I do not want someone paying... I think it was, like, a lot of pride.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, no, this is my son. I can pay for this. But this was over $10,000. Like, $12,650 to be exact. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. We had gotten, and that was just the blood test itself, not even counting all the, you know, everything else that we went through with Noah. But, yeah, I feel like that I'm getting ahead of myself, but.
I really did not know that story. Wow, yeah, I already learned something new.
Probably less than a year later, we told, like, the pastor, we told him that we wanted to bless their church somehow, so we're trying to figure out a way to bless the church.
Do you want cookies?
Right, do you want cookies? Here's cinnamon rolls. And so somehow,
I'm sure they would have taken that, but.
Right? I don't know how it came up, but. He asked if we would come and share our story, and so we came and shared our story, and I wasn't even planning on speaking, and then
you're just gonna let Greg
I was just gonna let Greg talk, so I'm like, I am not gonna do this.
Oh, God.
But then all of a sudden Greg was like, maybe you should say something little. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm pretty sure I talked for like 45 minutes. Maybe 6 minutes, but still, that's, it felt like 45. But yeah, crazy. I just felt like God just like gave me all these things to say, and I said it, and that's how that went. But
that's awesome.
I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, though. I haven't even shared Noah's story.
Okay, so, well, yeah, I think all I asked was that you shared this story before. I love it. So besides that and that miracle story.
Right.
No, not really. Okay, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, so first just tell me, we'll go even more back.
Okay.
Tell me who you are. Introduce yourself to us.
Okay.
Not to me, of course.
Okay.
But to our listeners who maybe don't know.
Gotcha.
Who you are.
I'm Nicole Mosier. Most people call me Nikki. I moved here in high school.
Okay, I never call you Nikki.
That's right, you don't. Most people do call me Nikki.
Keep going.
I moved here in high school, and actually, I came here literally kicking and screaming. Like, I did not want to move to New York at all.
Ooh.
I was so sick of moving. Born and raised Army brat. And I just, when I heard we're moving to New York, I remember just being like, why? Why? And we move here. Post doesn't even have room for us. And so they're like, okay, we're going to move you to a house in Lowville, New York. I'm like, what is Lowville, New York? They moved us onto North State Street.
That's really funny.
Onto this house, and they rented a house for us. And the first weekend I actually had living in that house was the Cream Cheese Festival.
Oh, gosh.
My dad came home, and he was like, there's some kind of festival happening down the road.
What a way to get
I know, they're like,
to
welcome
Lewis
to
County.
Lewis County. Here is an oiled pig like chasing thing. Like,
that's honestly embarrassing.
I remember just walking to the Cream Cheese Festival. I look over to my right, there was lawnmower races, and then they were announcing the oiled pig something
the
another
grease pig.
There you go, grease pig catching thing doodabber. It was like all these things that I'm like, obviously I've lived in all big cities on post my whole life, so literally to come up to a lawnmower race and all that. So we pretty much, we kind of stood out like a sore thumb. I'm sure our jaws were to the ground watching everything. So they're like, wow, new people. So we were talking with some people and we were saying like, this is like the smallest place we've ever lived. And they're like, well, at least we have a Walmart now. And I'm like, what did you have before? And like, oh, we had to go to like Watertown
Painting.
Or whatever. And all these crazy things. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But anyhow, fast forward. I ended up marrying a local. I became a Mosier. I became one of the many. So now I lie to people and tell them I'm from here. And my family lives in Tennessee.
Honestly, you feel like you're one of us.
I know. That's what I feel like. But one time someone asked me if I was from here and I said yes. And they said, who are your parents? And I instantly was like,
I lied.
And like, so you're not from here. I'm like,
sorry.
I'm married into here. Does that count? So apparently that doesn't count.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got married in 2013, had my first daughter in 2014, my second in 2016, and a couple years later, we decided to, you know, grow our family, and that's when we started just, I guess, having issues with that. Had, you know, a miscarriage at 11 weeks, and then we got pregnant with Noah, and early on, I started having, like, spotting with him. To where I wound up in the emergency room.
Yeah.
And I went there at, I was probably like maybe like 6 weeks or so. It was on February 14th. Yeah, what a great Valentine's Day. And they said, this is a molar pregnancy, and you need to have a surgery.
What's molar pregnancy?
Molar pregnancy is basically your body creates, like, little tumors. And so you had to have surgery, like, emergency surgery. If not, your body, it would basically grow into cancer.
Okay.
Like, it's, like...
So, like, at that point, they weren't even saying it was a baby?
No, they wanted to do surgery right then.
They said it was just, like, random cells?
Right. Right. And so they said, we want to do surgery right now. And so he leaves the room. I'm by myself because it's COVID. You know, Greg wasn't even allowed to be there with me.
Oh, golly.
And with my miscarriage, I was by myself, too, because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I called Greg, and I told him what was happening. The doctor comes back in, and he says, we can't get a doctor to come in to do the surgery. No one's available. So what we're going to do is we're going to send you home, and you're going to you're going to be in contact with your regular OB, and we'll go from there. Talk to my OB, and she says, it's too early to indicate this is a molar pregnancy or not, so we're going to wait a week and see what happens. So we waited a week, went to...
And at that point, like, you had already known you were pregnant?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I knew I was pregnant, but basically they were telling me that it wasn't a baby, it was, like, tumors growing.
Interesting. I also didn't know this.
Right. So I waited a week, went to the hospital, and she was doing the ultrasound, and there was a little heartbeat. She said, this is not a molar pregnancy.
Wow.
Show me out everything. It's going great. Yeah, what a whirlwind, right? So, of course, you go through that, and you're like, okay, I'm good,
yeah.
You know? And you keep on going, and then you get into the second trimester. I'm good, yeah. You know? Because that's what they tell you. Get to the second trimester, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
I was in Watertown.
As far as, like, because you had a miscarriage before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because I was at 11 weeks before.
Gotcha.
So, in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm 13 weeks now. I'm good.
Right.
Well, at around almost 15 weeks, I was in Watertown shopping for our friend Alyssa Rogge's
bachelorette.
Was it the bachelorette or was it the bridal shower? Bridal shower stuff. And
which one was first?
The bridal shower and then the bachelorette. Bridal shower was in April, bachelorette was in June.
Yeah. I should remember all the parts of the story.
I know, there's like a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I went there to surprise Greg with an ultrasound because my friend Cassie, years ago, she had gone to ultrasound and the baby was like waving like this and she's like, hi, Dad. You know? And so I wanted that to be able to surprise
Greg with
it. Made a little
meme out of it.
Yes. And so they started the ultrasound and the technician and I were talking back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot, you know, we were just talking back and forth. It was a lot of fun. And then right when she started the scan, like, I instantly saw, like, her demeanor just change. Mm. And she's doing her job, and I said, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And she, like, tears are just, like, welling up in her eyes, and she's like, I need to call your doctor. Mm. And I knew, like, something was incredibly wrong. Of course, she couldn't tell me, you know, being her job or anything.
Yeah. And this was the ultrasound you were supposed to have.
No, this was an elective. Fun. Yeah, this was an elective. Fun ultrasound, a 3D ultrasound. What could go wrong? I was feeling the baby move the whole time I was shopping with Alyssa, you know, like, so obviously it's no heartbeat thing, like something else is wrong. And once again, I'm by myself. Once again. Because I thought I would surprise Greg with a fun thing.
Yeah.
Instantly we went to the hospital and my OB said that they need to start doing testing. Something's wrong with the baby. I have no amniotic fluid. And we started waiting for us to be able to get into the specialists in Syracuse. Well, they were taking so long that my doctor wanted me to go to Rochester, to Strong. Mm-hmm. So I went to Rochester, and that's where pretty much all of it began with the testing of Noah, the testing of me and everything. And they said that Noah had Potter's syndrome, so the baby doesn't grow kidneys, so there's no amniotic fluid. And to the medical world, I needed to abort because of my life. And I told them, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not. And they were treating us like we were absolutely stupid to not do it. To where even the doctor at one point, as they're trying to convince me to have an abortion because my life's at risk, I need to think of my living children, whatever, she instantly turns to Greg like I wasn't competent to understand what was happening.
Yeah.
And she said, she goes, if she gets this infection, we will not be able to stop it. And I'm like, nope, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
You're talking to me.
Yeah.
And so that made me really upset.
Yeah.
You know, and I kept on just telling them, I'm like, if I'm supposed to die from carrying this baby for as long as my body will allow, then that is God's will.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to choose my life over his.
Yeah.
I'm not. we started trying to get help for him, and in New York State, pretty much they deem you as, you know, baby's not compatible, so, you know, move on.
Yeah.
We found this clinical trial where they will do repeat amniotic infusions. And so they said that we had to get tested. So Noah had to get tested for genetic issues. Mm-hmm. And then if he passed that, then I had to get like a psychological exam to make sure I'm like psychologically like there enough to handle everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's when we're on the bachelorette trip.
Yeah.
When we got the results finally. I think it was like 9 days past we were supposed to. And I was supposed to go instantly to Baltimore, Maryland, to literally live there for the rest of my duration of my pregnancy.
Yep.
We got the results that he was partially missing chromosome 4 and chromosome 18.
Yep.
So basically they said, you are not eligible for the trial. Like, my child wasn't good enough to be in the trial. Wasn't good enough to save. I convinced Syracuse, or actually technically Strong Hospital, I convinced them to do an exploratory amnio infusion to where they can, you know, with the ultrasounds, they need the fluid to be able to do scans properly.
Right.
So I convinced them to do it. And I went in there, I had to sign all these papers, like, if you die, you can't sue us. Okay, I'm dead, I can't. You know, like, all these things I had to literally agree to.
All that stuff is so wild to me, how much they, how much, like, part of it, I understand, just from the medical world, like, the liability part of it, but how much of it was almost like, did it feel like it was, like, guilt?
Yeah, they're just like, okay, if you're dumb enough to do this, sign
but
this.
But it's, like, your life.
Right.
Like, you're the one who's choosing, I want to put myself at risk of this for my baby.
And this is when, too, the whole
Roe versus
Wade thing was happening.
Yeah.
So people were, like, tagging me and stuff, like, saying, like, oh, this is your story. You're supposed to have an abortion to save your life. Like, what? Like, and so I said it to the doctor, one of the many. I said, my body, my choice, right?
Did you say that?
Sure did.
I love it.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Apparently it doesn't work that way. You're wanting to save your baby. It only works when you're wanting to kill your baby. But yeah, so I signed all these papers and they started the procedure and there was like 10 doctors in there and I was lying through my teeth about
how
the pain.
Much pain you're in.
Yes, because I wanted them to do it again. Like the amnio infusion again. And so they kept on going. It took about 45 minutes. And the best way I can describe it, it was like the longest contraction, just nonstop, like really strong contraction. And so I kept on just lying, like, how you doing, Nicole? I was like, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Wow.
But then at the end, my body started like giving it away that I was in pain. Like my hands were like shaking like this.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
But, you know, instantly watching him on the screen because they're doing the ultrasound, like he was instantly taking in gulps and of the fluid and all that. Like it was just...
Wow.
I don't know, like, it felt peaceful, like, seeing that.
Right, if you're watching your baby, like, receive what he needs.
Right.
You're not going to be like, stop.
Right. And wouldn't you think, too, that...
But people could, like, you are a strong mom and woman to keep being like, no, I can see that this is what he needs.
Yes.
Like, keep going,
yes,
even
keep
though
going.
It hurts.
Yeah, and they're like,
so
no,
bad.
We put as much as we can because they're scared that my uterus was going to rupture.
Okay, so it was like kind of like not trials, but like you could do so much at one time and then come back
as of
for
now
more.
Your uterus will rupture. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Yeah, so we got the amnio infusion, but they only would agree to do that once. They said we'll never do it again.
Why is that?
Because it was too much of a risk. Like I was too much of a liability.
You're like, I signed the paperwork.
I know, like, I signed the paperwork. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. But no, I begged and begged and begged, and they would not.
Yeah.
Every doctor that I called, I'm talking out of state, everything, they're like, nope, you're too much reliability. Too much reliability. I had placenta previa, too.
Okay, also, like, are you the first woman who's ever done this?
I know.
I couldn't find
anything on social media.
Okay.
Anything for people, like, battling the same thing. The only thing I could find is the people who actually went to the clinical trial that I was trying to get into, but I was denied for, which made me so upset. I'm like, how is it that, I mean, feels like I'm the only person in the world who has ever fought the medical system, it feels like, you know? Like, every doctor I've called, they've said, no, we won't treat you, we won't treat you. And even to where, when I was feeling so hopeful, like, he was getting hiccups. A baby with no amniotic fluid is not supposed to get hiccups.
Yeah.
He was moving. A baby with no amniotic fluid is not supposed to be able to move.
Yeah.
So I was just feeling so much, like, peace that, like, this baby is doing everything that the doctor said he would be doing.
Yep.
Went to the specialist in Syracuse. My first time meeting them, I had an ultrasound. They're looking for kidneys, of course. This is an hour goes by. She calls in the doctor. The doctor comes in with a whole, like, team of students. They're looking for kidneys. Meanwhile, they're literally talking about their weekend plans, joking around.
I hate the story.
Literally, I know.
That for you.
Like, acting like I was not even there. Like, as they're looking for my child's kidneys. And I remember just, like, just laying there and feeling like I was, like, no one. That my child was no one. And this is, like, in the almost, like, bitter end of our pregnancy. And luckily the ultrasound tech, like, she could tell that I was not happy, and she saw how inappropriate this was. Because the doctor goes, okay, we're going to a transvaginal ultrasound. And so I just get, like, all uptight, and she goes, okay, everyone get out of the room. She gets out, they all get out of the room, and she whispers to me, like, do you want it to where it's just the doctor? And I said, yes.
Yeah.
So just the doctor comes back in, he does a transvaginal, can't find kidneys. And he goes, okay, I'll meet you back in the room. I go back to the room. The nurse comes in for, you know, like when you're a new patient and they have to do all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So she says stuff like, do you have a pediatrician? And that stung. I said, yes. But I'm like, Nikki, just ignore it. Keep on going. Keep on going. And mind you, I have not cried at this point. Like, being treated like no one.
Yeah.
Being treated like I'm actual, like, just an idiot, you know? And then the question that got me was, she said, do you plan to breastfeed? And at first I was just like, why are you asking these questions? And I just start crying.
Yeah.
And she instantly, like, packs up her laptop and leaves. Doctor comes in. This is my first time meeting him in the ultrasound and all that.
Yeah.
And he goes over everything and says that my child has a 0% chance of survival. We cannot find kidneys. Going through all these things. And he even said, he goes, your placenta previa has most likely resolved. So I don't think you need a C-section anymore. Well, I said, I want a C-section because that way I can have some time with him before he passes, because I've been told that he's not going to survive a regular birth.
Right.
And he says, no, you do not need to get a C-section. Why would you scar your body for a for a terminal child?
Mm.
Why would I scar my body from a terminal child? Oh, no, for a lethal child, he says. And I'm like, I just start crying, and I'm thinking all these things I shouldn't be thinking about this doctor, you know? I'm just so angry. Like, this is my son. This is not, like, a dog on the side of the road. This is my son we're talking about. He's worth everything and more. I left there just feeling, like, defeated, like, every appointment. Just, you know, when doctors treat you like you're nothing, they treat you like you're stupid for not getting an abortion because, you know, whatever, they're saying that my life outweighs his. That makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah.
Went home, and I wasn't due until October. And this is August, and my body starts going into labor. And I'm thinking, like, no, no, no. This is, like, a couple weeks before I had Noah. So I was charging in a ton of water to try to help it stop. I got contacted by a follower on Instagram, and she said, I just saw your story. Your story exactly meets my cousin. And she gave me her contact info. I got the contact info from her. She goes, this is exactly our story. You need to contact this doctor in Florida. He will see, he will try to save your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I contacted him. He's like, okay, all I need from you, since you already got the baby tested, I just need you and your husband to get a blood test done to make sure, to see where this came from, if it's a genetic anomaly or if it came from one of you.
Yeah.
We got it tested, ourselves tested our blood test, and it was supposed to be back in 2 days. Of course, it took 6 days for the results to come back in.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, right when the results come in, I want you immediately on a plane if it comes in your favor.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, sounds great.
Yeah.
Literally waiting for the test to come in to get on a plane and head right to Florida. The day that those test results come in is the day that Noah died. August 13th. I still struggle. Like, if it was God's purpose to take Noah, why bring that doctor?
Yeah.
Because, of course, the results came in our favor. And if we would have found him sooner, he would have tried to save Noah. So, I still battle with that.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? What was that point? To literally get me so excited, to feel like I finally found, in a sense, the answer
right.
to all of this. Just for, to feel like a failure. Yeah. To not have found him soon enough. And if the doctors here weren't willing to save him, why didn't they find this doctor mm-hmm. who was willing to save him? I had, 15 weeks of fighting this. And at the last week, I find him. Mm. It just doesn't add up to me. So that's something I still struggle with on bad days.
Yeah.
Like the point of it all. And we were sharing Noah's story on social media, like when I was pregnant,
mm-hmm.
solely because we didn't want my oldest girls finding out about what we were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that children shouldn't have to worry about this stuff. So we were fighting this secretly. We did not tell our children what was going on.
Yeah.
And so people, I think, just assume that I'm just like an open book. You know, mm-hmm. like, oh, she shares it on social media.
Right.
Like, no, it was strictly just because we wanted people to know
right.
what was happening. And we didn't want people to confront us in person in front of our children.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of just started this, I don't know, blog almost of
yeah.
what we were battling and all that. And after Noah died, it kind of just turned into a mission for like pro-life, you know,
mm-hmm.
like for every other mother, father, who's mm-hmm. in a sense backed into a corner
yeah.
with the medical field.
Yeah.
Medical field who you're supposed to trust and all that, to be treated like you are nothing because you're choosing life for your baby.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of just turned it into that. But of course, there's the bad days too.
Yep.
Of
course.
Trolls, you know, have to say stupid things,
yeah.
do stupid things, and you're kind of just like, okay, like, why am I sharing my story if I'm
yeah.
going to listen to this? But then, you know, Noah's story has reached over 10 million people.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
I love it.
And I'm trying to tell myself on the bad days that, you know, his story isn't over,
yeah.
you know? And his story is helping other babies and other families and other mothers, fathers, etc., to be able to have a backbone and fight,
yeah.
even when it feels like it's
yeah.
absolutely impossible. So,
yeah,
I just rambled for like 7 years.
Just now? I love it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow. There are parts of that I don't even remember hearing, so thank you for sharing all that and for being, again, for being, like, vulnerable and open. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, 10 million people.
Yeah.
Like, that's through Instagram and Facebook?
Yeah. I think it's, like, 13 million now.
So did you, yeah, like, at what point did you, were you like, oh, people are actually, this is more than just, like, updates. People are, like, relating to this and
it was
resonating with this. I should share this.
Right.
Like, was your, like, profile public and stuff?
The posts that we're making about Noah were public. And I think it was the week that we found out by the doctor in Florida. I made this reel that was like, the doctor said
yep.
that my baby is not going to survive
mm-hmm.
till 20 weeks. We're on week 30 now. You know,
yeah.
like I just made like this
yeah.
inspirational reel
yeah.
and that went viral.
Yeah.
And like even the things too, like a lot of people will say like, okay, I'm so sad that you didn't get your miracle. And on bad days, that phrase, like, literally, like, goes on
yeah.
repeat in my head.
Yeah.
But I tell people all the time, Noah wasn't supposed to survive past 20 weeks. He survived 30 weeks to 4 days.
Yeah.
Noah was supposed to be severely deformed from not having amniotic fluid. He was completely perfect.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to have survived birth. And he survived birth and lived for an hour and a half afterwards.
Yeah.
The doctor said if he, by some miracle, survives birth, he won't be able to cry because his lungs didn't develop enough. Like, he screamed so loud, my in-laws and my pastor
yeah.
heard him
yeah.
from the waiting room.
Yeah.
And he even lived long mm-hmm. enough to where our pastor, we were able to dedicate him before
yeah.
he died. And, obviously,
yeah.
I didn't die.
Yeah.
Here
yeah.
I am. But
yeah,
so we got like little miracles along the way, and even miracles from there, you know, for other people's sake, to hear our story and to not abort their children, to carry for as long as they can, carry to term. So it's just a sad world we live in.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is one of the things I was going to ask you is, I remember like when just walking through all of that, like I really believed Noah was going to be healed.
Right, same.
So I'm going to start just in praying for you guys. I think in my heart, I really just believed he was going to be healed and be a little boy running around with us. And yeah, like you talk about, you didn't get the miracle in the way that you wanted it. Mm-hmm. But like you just said, all the little miracles that did come from it. And so, yeah, could you speak any more to that? Just kind of like what it looks like to have faith for something and like it doesn't turn out looking like what you thought it would look like or should look like. But yeah, I mean, faith isn't, it can't be just when we see the end result. Right. Like it has to be the process and the journey of it all.
Well, everyone thinks that faith is just like an uphill thing, you know, like it's down, it's up, it's to the side, to the other side. Like it's not just one destination, I guess. And I think the hardest thing for me was to like notice how much I've changed, you know, but like, I feel like it's in some good, but in some bad, you know, like you go through trauma and your outlook on things kind of differs some, you know, like for instance, it was always like when some, like in my head, I'm like, well, what if something bad happens?
Yeah.
But now it's when something bad happens, you know? Yeah. So trying to fight that, to have faith and to know that like, this is my temporary home. Like my son was not healed for my temporary home, but he was healed to 100%, 110%, 200% in heaven.
Yeah.
And he's literally waiting for me.
Yeah.
With his sibling.
Yeah.
And to think that I'm selfish enough on the bad days to be like, but God, you didn't heal him for now, you know, but it's like, okay, I didn't heal him for right now, but I healed him for forever, you know? So on the bad days, now. I like constantly literally remind myself that.
Yeah.
And try and have grace for people at times in your faith journey. Definitely is a struggle for me at times. So many people just said just some really hurtful things and trying to remind yourself, like they're trying to help you, but really they just literally put you into a giant hole.
Yeah.
You know, my first Sunday back to church, I had someone ask me if I was mad at God for taking Noah, my first Sunday back. And I know, I'm like,
what do you think my answer is?
I know, and mind you, I'm sitting in the nursery pumping for two other families to donate, and I'm asked if I'm mad at God for taking my son. I had a lot of rage, and that kind of made it to where I didn't trust people to be around me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted to keep my peace, and I didn't want people stopping over to my house.
Yeah.
I would literally hide from people after Noah was born.
Mm-hmm.
I would hear people pull up my driveway, I'm like, nope. I taught my children to hide from people. That's probably not the greatest motherly instincts I've ever had.
You're like, we're unlearning some things.
I know. I know. But it was definitely, like, protecting my peace, I guess. But, and so many people tell me, like, oh, you're so strong, you're so strong.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not exactly a compliment when you're literally having to survive. It's like, I'm not strong as a compliment. I'm strong because I'm trying to survive. Like, I felt like it was something I didn't want. You know, like, I didn't choose this.
Yeah.
Didn't choose this at all. And I even had to where after Noah died, after the funeral, all the things, I had a family member whom, you know, when you're being told that you're most likely going to die any moment, you're basically, you're too dumb to terminate this pregnancy. You're going to get an infection. We're not going to be able to stop it. It's going to happen in an instant, you know?
Yeah.
You're kind of like, okay, like, what is this? Like, what am I supposed to believe? Who am I supposed to see? You know, kind of like, almost like you're trying to, like, mark off all your ties, I guess. And this family member.
Did you ever, like, think, like, oh, I'm going to die?
There is, after, okay, I'm going to the appointments every week. They're doing my temperature. to make sure I'm not getting an infection. I'm giving the same old spiel every time I get there, saying my options,
yeah,
all that. And every time I'm like, I don't want to terminate. But they just, every time I would go in there, that was the talk. And then the talk of, having to agree to where, when Noah was born, that they wouldn't help him. Mm. And I kept on telling the doctor, I said, I don't want to talk about this. And she said, you have to talk about this. Oh, that made me so angry.
Yeah.
You know? One of those appointments, like, I was just feeling down.
Yeah.
And actually feel bad. I went to PB&J afterwards to get, this is right before Alyssa's wedding. I had this appointment.
Yeah.
This really bad appointment. And I went there to get our bagels for the next day for the wedding. Get your gluten-free bagel and our other ones. And I felt bad because I walk in and Nick was trying to pick on me. But I was so out of it. I was just like, just stared at him. He's like, it's a joke. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, like I was just like in a fog of like,
yeah,
is this my life, you know?
Yeah.
And I went back home and I wrote letters to my family. And I even wrote a letter to my husband's future spouse. And it was a lot of mostly just like threatening, you know, to her. But
of course, naturally.
Naturally. But yeah, so I wrote letters to my children for, you know, the 13th birthday, 16th, 18th, their wedding and all that. Like, I wanted everything to be there. And at first I was going to give it to my friend to have for just in case, yeah, you know? But I didn't want to put that burden on her.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just tucked it away into the safe and felt like when it was time that Greg would have found it, you know, and gave it to the girls and to himself and all that. So I did have that little of, am I going to survive this, you know? But I think this was at the bitter, not bitter end, but close to the end of the fight. So I think I was just feeling weak in that point. Yeah. But, yeah.
But sorry, I interrupted another way that you were going.
I was just talking about my, I guess my apprehension to people at times, you know, on bad days, and how I voiced to someone that I felt like this person wasn't there for me, you know, like, you weren't there for me for my pregnancy, like, and you weren't there for me for my son's funeral, and this person said, if you wanted help, you should have asked, and I'm like, if I needed help, I should have asked. So if someone's drowning in the water, do we wait to help until they ask for a life vest, you know? Like, it was just, it kind of opened my eyes to where, like, if I see a need, I need to fill a need.
Yeah.
Regardless if they ask, regardless of anything else. Yeah. But that's just what I try to do now.
Yeah.
Mind you, I try to be, it's kind of like a weird place. You're like, okay, I don't want to overstep, but, you know, like, so I guess it was kind of eye-opening for me that somehow people can say you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
So I'm like, am I waiting for that for people?
Yeah.
You know? Like, literal verbal of, hey, Nikki, I'm struggling. Can you come help me? Or am I, have my eyes open enough to where I can see a need and feel a need without being asked?
Yeah. What would you say, like, how would you recommend people, like, how would you have wanted people to be a friend or be supportive, like, right, without kind of doing that overstepping, but also, like, I think sometimes you do have to be, like, you're going to want me to help you.
Right.
Because I see what's going on, and that's all there is to it.
Right. I think simple things go
I love you.
Simple things go such a long way, though.
Yeah.
People think that when they come to a grieving family, they need to give them this, like, Hallmark card of, like, aspirations or whatever.
Yeah.
And inspiration and whatever. But it's like, we don't need that. Like, we don't need, I hope you're enjoying the journey. This journey is hell. Why would I want to enjoy this journey? Choose this journey at all.
Enjoying it. Thank you for your sentiments.
This journey is actually hell, but thank you.
This back. Here's a cookie.
Exactly. So I think if people realize just the simple stuff, like a simple gesture of a hand on a shoulder, and be like, hey, I'm praying for you, walk away.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Yeah. I don't need you to walk up to me and be like, hey, how are you? You look sad. Well, my son just died, so I probably do look sad because I am sad.
Right.
You know, like, I don't need those reminders at all. But I think people think just that that's helping to try to pry you open in public places. Like, can I just go to Walmart and literally get my groceries without having someone, like, try to give me, like, a Dr. Phil episode?
Yeah.
Like, that would be fantastic. I just wish that people understood that. Or, okay, like, I see a need. Nikki just had her baby, and obviously she's struggling.
Yeah.
Let me go work on her flower beds. To where I see that's done, and it's like a, whew, like, reassurance for me.
Yeah.
But it's not you up in my face.
Yeah.
Trying to ask me about my day.
Right.
Ask me about next steps. Ask me personal questions about my son.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, I don't understand that. I don't get how people have the other.
I know. Like, people are just like, oh, you know.
I think, like, I almost come from the other way of, like, I want to do something, but I'm not doing enough.
Yeah. Right.
Versus, like, over-asking. That's,
right.
like, crazy.
Yeah, I even had people say, like, one person came to my house. This is when I was pregnant with Noah. And this person said, maybe it's time to accept that your baby's going to die. What? What?
Okay.
Like, maybe you should accept my foot in your face. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think That's people crazy. Just need to learn to be quiet.
Be quiet.
Be still.
Yeah.
Be still. That way, I don't have to fight the feeling to go to prison. You know? Like, because of stupid
put
comments.
My foot in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a simple gesture of leaving something at your door goes a long ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, everyone handles grief differently.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a more private person. And if I don't know you, I don't want you to come to my house and try and have a Dr. Phil episode. Like, I don't want that at all.
Right.
And those who know me know that. So they know what I need, what I want, and all that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's what I'm struggling with the people thing.
Yeah.
Is that Nikki before Noah was just like, oh, hello, everyone. You know, like, I was still introverted, but I think I could hide it a lot better.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I am very choosy on my time and energy and who I associate with and who I don't. But I'm, like, trying to
figure
out a balance.
Well, you're, like, also exposed to a lot of, like, really hurtful things.
Right.
So I feel like that's...
Well, during his pregnancy, I was bombarded with all these things that are in people's comments and questions, whatever, but having to learn how to swerve those comments and questions, you know, like, I think that just kind of made me exhausted of people.
It's crazy.
But I need to be nicer.
I can't. Kind of swinging that around a little bit, I was thinking... Last night, I was like, what did I learn from your story? Like, what have I learned from your story? And it kind of goes along just with what we've been saying, but I think one of the things which I'm not trying to make this about me at all, but one of the things that I was thinking about is I was so, like I said, like, I really believed that Noah was going to be healed. And so I think, like, learning to, like, have faith for other people and that sometimes, like, you can have faith for other people when you don't even have faith for yourself and vice versa.
Right.
Like, that we need those people who, it's sometimes like, that's really great that you feel that you have faith for me, but, like, I have no faith for this.
Right.
So, like, almost like borrowing each other's faith. Did you, like, experience that at all? Or
I experienced it with
you, though.
Concept
of that?
Like,
yeah.
There are so many appointments where you literally were like, hey, I made a Spotify playlist for you to listen to on your drive. Like, you have no idea. Like, something that maybe seems simple to you was, like, such a huge, like, why didn't I think of that? And I felt like it was the, like, lift that I needed of faith, you know, to, like, listen to the songs that came to your heart for our journey.
Yeah.
And so I remember just putting that... You know, going to drive to Rochester in 3 hours and being like, oh, wait, Meg made that playlist for me. And I put that on.
Greg's like, what is this?
Yeah.
Your friends are weird.
Right. Stop. No, it was those little moments though for me that I felt like people like you were lifting me up in my like feeling of defeat, I guess. So I definitely think that was just huge.
Yeah. Such an interesting concept, I feel like. And I'm just, like, thankful for the body for that. Because, yeah, I definitely walk through things that I'm like, I'm glad you believe that for me, because I do not.
Right.
But, but I believe for them.
And
yeah, just that, it's that concept of, like, we are the body. And that's one way I think we can just walk with each other.
For
I don't know. It's really interesting.
No, for sure. And I think the moments that, like, I felt like I was, I didn't have anything left to give.
Yeah.
Those simple gestures would literally, like, pick me up off the ground. Like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And God obviously knew what he was doing, even if I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, like, my theme afterwards was, like, God is still good.
Yeah.
Even when I don't understand. And the things that I thought I would get in the prayer, you know, like, praying for my son to be healed, I still got, but just in a different way, you know? In watching, like, the hospital that I had Noah at, all their COVID protocols, they literally just put to the ground for us. You know, they're like, nope, anyone can come in for you.
Yeah. You're like, heck, it was 2022.
I know, right?
Come on. Better.
I know, right? You would think, but it's hard to, as a mom, to see, like, how this has affected my children.
Yeah.
To where, like, now I'll say, like, so-and-so had their baby. And it's supposed to be an exciting thing, right? My children's first question is, did the baby die? I just feel like at 10 and 8 years old, that shouldn't be even a thought.
Right.
But that's their reality. And being like, no, the baby didn't die, you know? Yeah. It's just, it's hard as a mom to see that. And I'm just glad that we did not share with them what was happening with Noah during the pregnancy. But in a way, like, my oldest has asked, you know, like, what, when I was pregnant with Lena, I found out I was pregnant 6 months after Noah died. And we didn't tell anyone until I was, like, 16 weeks that I was pregnant, because I was so scared.
Yeah.
Well, my oldest, after we told them that we were pregnant, they were really excited. But later on into the pregnancy, she asked me, she's like, Mommy, would you tell me if the baby is sick?
Yeah.
And I said, Kiara, I will, you know, the baby is not sick, the baby is healthy. And she said, I thought that was last time too, but Noah was sick.
Yeah.
And you didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And that definitely felt guilt, you know, but I said, I'm like, I was trying to protect you.
Right.
I guess it's just like, you try to do one thing and something else happens, you know? So, I don't know. I guess it's just trying to figure out what was best. And I felt that that was best at the time.
Yeah,
to do.
There's I don't feel like there's like a right or a wrong answer.
And we kind of prepared them in a way. Like, we would talk about friends that I have that had lost babies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just said, I'm like, their baby was sick, so God brought him or her up to heaven to heal them, you know, to where they kind of had a concept that not all the time when babies are born do they live.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes that is not the case. And I wanted them to have some sort of reality to that before Noah was born, even though at the time I'm still praying for a miracle.
Right.
I want that miracle. I'm getting that miracle,
yeah,
you know, is what I was believing. But yeah, obviously God had different plans of what that miracle would be.
Yeah. Yeah, that concept is crazy too, like the believing still in faith, like believing for the miracle, but also preparing yourself.
Right.
Like, emotionally and mentally for, like, this could happen.
Right. It's hard when you're pregnant, feeling your baby move around in your belly.
You're and like, but like, they're here right now.
Right, they're here right now, but you're telling me I need to be preparing for a funeral.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're some time I'm supposed to be preparing for this before that, but my baby's right here. My baby's kicking. My baby has hiccups. Like,
yeah,
it makes no sense.
Yeah.
After Noah was born, I was just in a complete state of shock. I couldn't make any decision. I probably couldn't figure out which shoe to put on first. Like, I was just in a state of shock to where my husband had to take over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know my husband well enough, you know that that's not his personality. Mm-hmm. His personality is just kind of like, he doesn't like to make decisions, if that makes any sense. But watching him take on that, you know, like, was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. Was just like, I can't do this. Like, I felt like I was having to be strong the whole pregnancy.
Yeah.
But then after he died, I was just like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, just
reached
nothing.
Reached the end. I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't decide anything.
Yeah.
And that's when he stepped up and took over, and I was just kind of, like, along for the ride.
Yeah.
For the poor guy, the day of Noah's funeral. A couple days before his funeral, Greg asked me what I was going to wear, and I said I wanted to wear the dress that I had bought in. For maternity pictures that I was planning to get done.
Yeah.
Well, probably a week before Noah was born, I went to iron that dress. I burnt a hole in it. Kid you not. It just shriveled up, and I was like, oh my goodness. But it was in the back of it, so I figured, whatever, I can still wear it for maternity pictures. I just won't have my back showing, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
And in the meantime, I was like, okay, how about I order a new one to where if it doesn't come in time, I'll just use this one.
Yeah.
You know? I ordered a new one, it came in, and then Noah was born. So I knew I had that new dress, like, in a bag from Amazon or whatever. Well, when Noah's funeral came, Greg got the dress out to iron for me. And he sees this gaping hole in the back. And he just panics because he said... He's like, I knew I couldn't tell you. Like, I was a fragile
human
being.
From the
being.
New one?
No, from the old one.
Oh.
He found the old one. He didn't know I had a new one.
That's funny.
He ran to his mom, who's a seamstress, to try to fix it. She couldn't fix it. She ran to our seamstress friend. She worked for hours trying to fix it. And I get up in the morning, and I'm like, where is Greg? And I can tell my mom is lying. She's like, oh, I don't know. He just, like, you know, went outside, you know. And she's like, just lying through her teeth. I'm like, where is he? He was gone for like 2 hours trying to get this dress fixed. He comes back with the dress in hand. And I'm like, why do you have my dress?
And he's like, why do you have my old bread?
I know. And he goes, I got it out and had a huge hole in it. So Carolyn fixed it for us and it took 2 hours. And I was like, Greg, I ordered a new one. It's in a bag.
And it needs to be ironed.
Can you get on that pronto? And he's
so
like, are you kidding
what
me?
What a guy.
Yeah, so I ended up wearing the dress that Carolyn fixed for the funeral because I felt like I just had to, you know? Like, I had to wear that original dress. The dress that she took so much time, so much love and all that to fix. So that's what I wore for his funeral. It was weird wearing the dress you're supposed to wear for maternity pictures at your son's funeral.
Yeah.
Definitely was something I never expected, but that was my reality, I guess.
Yeah. I think you kind of said it before, but I was just going to ask you, like, if there's one thing, there's probably not one thing, but that you could pick out that you felt like, because I know there's stuff you're still working through and still going through. I think, there probably will always be, not in a discouraging way, but, like...
No, I think that's just human, though.
It's the question of, like... Why did you choose to not heal him in the
and
way
that
I wanted to?
Why me?
Why me? Why other families?
I think God was
always going to be those.
I think God was always preparing me for Noah, though.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of the song, I Will Carry You?
I don't know.
By Selah?
I don't know.
It's a song about a baby with a terminal diagnosis.
Okay.
The band Selah. It was his wife and their baby, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline, I believe was her name. They wrote this song about her carrying the baby for as long as her body will allow. I Will Carry You is what it's called. And I remember hearing that song years ago. I think it was like, goodness, back in like 2006 or something like that when the song came out. And I remember just crying and being like, she's choosing to carry this baby, like the baby that's going to die, and being like, what would I do in that situation? And I decided from then, mind you, I'm like a teenager at that point, or whatever it was. I remember being really young and being like, I would carry my baby no matter what.
Wow.
You know, and already having that decided. So I feel like God was always preparing me for Noah.
Yeah.
To where right when I'm getting told this, like, you need to abort. You need to abort. And I said, no, I will not abort. Mm-hmm. I will not choose my life over my son's. But definitely the... Watching the medical field, too, we walk into the genetic counselor.
Yeah.
She's going through all of our report of what our results are.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, by the way, you know you're having a boy, right? And I'm like, okay. You know, our first son. Thank you. And it was just like another day for her, you know, going over all these reports. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out what God's purpose was in a way, on the bad days. I know that God is using Noah to help people.
Yeah.
But the purpose of, through the journey, the up and down, you know, roller coaster that it was, what was that purpose, you know, for God? I guess is I struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, like even, you know, that blood test you get done, NIPT, I believe it's called.
Okay.
When Noah first got, we found out that we had no amniotic fluid. They ran that test to see, it must be Down syndrome, must be this, must be that. So she's like, we got to do this test. Did the test. She calls me and she says, hey, results are completely good, 100% healthy. I'm like, okay, the baby's healthy. There's an up, you know, I'm high on the mountain.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I go right back down to the ground when I find out that that's not the case. Your baby is partially missing chromosome 4 and chromosome 18. What? Yeah. You know? And then the high of finding that doctor, back down to boom, ground zero.
Yep.
You know? So it's like, what's the point? God, what is that? Yeah. What was the point of that roller coaster?
Yeah.
Maybe it was to show me that I am not in charge of my life, regardless of how often I think that I am.
Yeah.
If I think I'm going to go left, God's going to take me right, you know? And being okay with being in the passenger seat is definitely something I feel like we struggle with.
Yeah.
Especially in our generation, that's like, no, I'm doing this. Yeah. God's like, is that right?
I am.
Is that right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, it's just a journey of
uphill,
and it's never the same.
Yeah.
And I wish people would understand that.
Sure. Yeah.
Even though one day I can be completely like high on a horse of, you know, God's in control and all that.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the enemy slips in and there I am just in despair.
Yep.
So.
Is there one thing that you feel like you can say no, like that I learned for sure, like I can cling to, or like scripture that you clung to or anything like that?
I definitely clung to the fact that this is not my home. Why am I fighting for a baby to stay at my temporary home?
Yeah.
Why am I fighting for this happiness here right now? Am I not fighting for the happiness here, or am I literally striving for, you know, what our eternal gift is going to be?
Kingdom mindset.
Yes. So I definitely think kingdom mindset definitely was more revealed to me.
Yeah.
Through it all.
Yeah. That's really good.
Just being reminded on that.
It's never a bad thing. Like, that's always going to be a good like thing to come back to.
But I feel like with social media, especially in our generation, we look at people's lives on social media like, oh my word, she has it all. But I want to be able to share on social media people who are hurting, who are grieving, who are going through the same thing I went through, and to show that, I guess there's, I want to be completely real on there. Like, this is not a good day. This is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I wasn't helped by this person in this way. This is how you can help, you know, your friend, your family, whatever.
Yeah.
And I hope and pray that if someone, my neighbor, whoever, is going through something, I hope that I can be a help to them in whatever way that they want and need.
Yeah.
And not have to wait for someone to literally say, Nikki, I need help.
Yeah.
You know, like, is my eyes open? Is my heart open?
Yeah.
You know?
That's really good.
So,
so good. I'm trying to think if there's any other big questions I wanted to ask you.
Probably help if I stop rambling.
No, it's all really good. I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability. Yeah, I guess this could be a kind of a last question. Something that I've noticed you say a lot on your social media, on your posts about Noah, is that he was your rainbow after a great storm.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, honestly, like, blows my mind every time I read that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
Well, Noah is technically supposed to be our rainbow baby, like, after our miscarriage.
Yeah.
And going through his pregnancy was the biggest storm of my life.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't, obviously didn't survive, he was such a glimpse of what heaven's going to be to me,
yeah.
I guess, like, for that short amount of time.
Yeah.
So he was that rainbow that I needed. And even if he didn't survive, he will forever be my rainbow baby.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his name, Noah.
Yeah.
Like, when we found out he was a boy, I basically could not get my husband to really talk about it, like, talk about naming our child that's going to die.
Yeah.
And I just remember being like, God, like, help me, because I'm not feeling like I'm getting the support that I need right now.
Yeah.
And my planner self, it's like, I need a name for this baby.
Yeah.
I don't want the baby to be born, the baby to be gone to heaven, but like, what is your name?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to know what this baby's name is. And as I'm praying, I felt like I was like, Noah, he is your rainbow after a great storm.
Yeah.
And so that's how he got his name.
Did
Noah.
You, I don't remember, did you share that? What his name was before?
No, we did not share his name.
I don't remember.
And I told Greg, which is kind of funny because this obviously is not me.
Yeah.
We're driving one day and I said, how did I say it?
You're like,
I think
just
I just said,
so
the,
you know.
By the way, the baby's name is Noah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he didn't say anything. So I was like, I'm not giving him a choice on this matter. I wasn't going to give him a choice, but
yeah.
It's like, I felt like God really was just like, this is your Noah.
Yeah.
He is your rainbow. It's going to be a great, great and awful storm.
Yeah.
But, like, he is the promise for me in heaven.
Yeah.
So one day I'm going to literally get there and he's going to come running into my arms.
Yeah.
And then all this that happens.
Yeah.
In heaven, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like... Man, I would love if people who end up listening to this, like, not that I would love if they were going through what
right.
you're going through, but, like, if this reached somebody
right.
who is walking through that kind of thing, what would you, like, say to them right now going through the process?
For someone who's carrying a child that is not going to survive, or just being told that maybe your child has complexities that your doctors are not willing to,
yeah.
you know, try to fix... get help.
Yeah.
There is avenues that I didn't know even existed.
Yeah.
Go to social media, honestly. Look up hashtags of what your baby has.
Yeah.
Try to find other people's stories about what has helped them.
Yep.
And sadly, I guess one thing I would say too is that to have the preparations that your baby is not going to survive. So having those keepsakes.
Mm-hmm.
For the hospital.
Yeah.
Luckily, the hospital we were at, our nurse was just over the top amazing. And so she went above and
that
beyond
is such
for
a
us.
Blessing.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Above and beyond for us, but like I would have that stuff in my Amazon cart.
Yeah.
Like the molds and all that.
Yeah.
And I just could not purchase it.
Yeah.
Because in my head, it was like, then you're giving up.
Yeah.
Or even I found this organization on Instagram. It's called Able Speaks. And it's a company that started because of a baby, their baby Abel dying. And it's a Christian organization that will literally find doctors for you, caring doctors.
Oh, wow.
Doctors are not going to treat you like you're no one, like I felt for
yeah.
the whole pregnancy. They will find photographers for you to
wow.
do your maternity pictures, to do your newborn pictures and all that.
Yeah.
They will have counseling for you. They have all these things. I found them in my pregnancy, but I did not have the courage to sign up. Because
yeah.
like I said, in my head I was giving up.
Right.
Your baby is not going to die.
Right.
You don't have faith. You don't
right.
have faith your baby is going to die. You're going to sign up for this. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But really I felt like God was like bringing me to it and I was like too stubborn. I was like, nope. You know how much I could have benefited from that counseling?
Yeah. Yeah.
Counseling alone. One more miracle, too, that was for Noah's birth is that my friend Cassie, she travels around
mm-hmm.
For a living. She's a wild thorn Baileys. She is a professional photographer too, and she just so happened to be in our area when Noah died.
Yeah.
So she was able to come to the hospital and take pictures of him
yeah.
and us.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that was a miracle in itself. And she's my best friend.
She was there.
And that day I was supposed to photograph a wedding.
Oh.
But luckily, a week before.
I was at a wedding that day.
Yes, a week before. I felt like I wasn't going to be at that wedding, and I started having the, mm-hmm. you know, pains and all that, contractions. I had got my friend Chelsea, she was my second shoot at the time, and I was like, okay, if I'm not there, which most likely I feel like I'm not going to be there,
yeah.
this is the timeline, this is everything that's supposed to be going on,
yeah.
SD cards, whatever. And I had asked Cassie, I was like, Cassie, can you second shoot that wedding for me? And so she graciously agreed. And of course, that day that I was supposed to photograph that wedding,
yeah.
Noah was born, and I had everything all lined up beforehand.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so I was like, that was a gift, and Cassie was able to come to the hospital before
yep.
she even went. Like, I didn't even know she was even coming.
Yeah.
She just shows up.
Yeah.
Because my sister contacted her, and she's like, you need to get to the hospital and take pictures.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was not on my. I was already in, like, you know, shock mode
right.
at that point, you
yeah.
know, so nothing mattered at that point. But definitely, if you're going through a pregnancy, the life-limiting diagnosis, Able Speaks, great organization. I still follow them to this day.
Okay.
Get the keepsakes. Get the maternity pictures.
Yep.
Do everything I didn't do. have the photographer come to the hospital.
Yeah.
It may seem absolutely dumb and almost morbid in a way, but those are the closure things you're gonna need.
Yeah.
Take the videos. I'm so glad I have videos of
yeah.
Noah and me with Noah.
Yeah.
Of course, in the moment you feel just like almost out of body.
Yeah.
You're like, what is this?
Yeah.
But now I can look back on those videos
right.
and be like,
yeah,
there it is. You
yeah.
know? So I guess that's what I would suggest.
Yeah.
And that this is not your forever home. It's
yeah.
temporary.
Yeah.
And they just beat us to the destination.
Yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing all of that.
It's like I just, like...
No, so good.
Word vomited everywhere.
So good. I feel like we can't not talk about Lena Joy, too. That she's here now as well. And did anyone ever tell you, like... Did anyone be like, oh, is she replacing Lena?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Ugh.
When
like,
I was
nope,
pregnant,
she's just my
like,
other miracle.
Oh, this is your baby coming back to you. What the actual? No. He's in heaven in
yeah.
complete bliss.
Yeah.
I would not ask for him to come back to this.
Right.
Would not.
Yeah.
But, and that's definitely a weird place to be in, too.
Yeah.
Just be like,
yeah.
you know, you don't want your baby back? No, it's not that. Why would I take him from complete perfection
right.
to come back here?
Right.
That's selfish.
Right.
But, no, people would say stuff and... I think that's why we waited so long, too, to tell people.
Yeah.
Because people had really dumb questions. So is the baby healthy? No, the baby's potato. Like,
what?
Walk away.
Yeah.
I hope the baby's a boy. And so I would say, well,
yeah.
we're just hoping for a healthy baby. At this
right.
point, you could be a monkey, and I would still love this child. You know?
Right.
So once again, those situations of them thinking that they're helping and all that... One person said to me, oh, you know it's a boy. No, I don't. I'm just praying for a happy and
healthy
baby. Uh-huh.
Right.
We didn't find out what we're having. And I'm so glad we didn't.
Until she was born.
Right.
Oh,
until she
okay.
was born. Yeah. Didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful because, for one, if I had found out in someone when I was pregnant would have been like, what are you having? And I said, a girl. And if they said, oh, too bad, I might have gone to prison. Because
right.
I might have reacted in a way that was not lawful.
Forget not loving, not lawful.
Yeah, it's not lawful at all. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, my whole prayer with her pregnancy was a happy and healthy baby.
Yeah.
That's all I want, God. Let me
yeah.
please take this baby home, was
yeah.
my plea.
Yeah.
Her delivery was absolutely crazy. She was born, and I remember just thinking before she was born, I'm like, God... And I even talked to my provider about this. I was like, I want at least 7 epidurals because I don't want to feel any pain. Like, and he's like, okay, sounds good. The appointment before I had her, I was only 36 weeks. I remember saying to him, I was like, hey, so if I go into labor soon,
yeah.
like, what's the protocol? Do I come to this hospital or do I go to a different hospital? And he's like, Nikki, you're not having this baby soon. I'm like, but what if I do?
Yeah.
Like, what? And then once again, I think God was preparing me.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can come to this hospital. I'm like, okay, cool. I think it was like 5 days later, I get into labor and get to the hospital. And he comes in, he's like, what are we doing? You are not in labor.
What's going on?
And he even said, he's like, you're not in labor, this is your anxiety, like you're super anxious. I get it. I absolutely get it. But that was just a blessing itself to find this provider.
Yeah.
Because I was initially looking, or with another provider.
Yeah.
And I think I was like 20-something weeks.
Yeah.
And this guy comes in, and he literally tells me I'm fat and laughs. And I'm like, you're dead to me. Like, I just went through a trauma pregnancy where I wasn't allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm bigger than I usually am. But to literally say that and laugh. So I tried to find all these other providers. No one would take me. And they had this other doctor there. Like, okay, well, how about you meet Dr. Manny? Shout out to Dr. Manny. He's
Dr.
awesome.
Dr. Manny.
Yes, Dr. Manny. Shout he's the out. Man.
He's at Carthage, right?
Yes, he's at Carthage. He is the man. He walks in, mind you, I'm ready. I'm like locked and loaded to be like, you guys are awful. I'm never coming back here.
Yeah.
So he walks in, and I'm just like, right, it's just.
You're like,
punch
just
him in the
be
face.
Ready, pal.
Yeah, yeah, you want to go? You want to go? He comes in, puts his hand on my shoulder, and he's like, I am so sorry for the loss of your son.
Wow.
That's his first words to me.
Wow.
Of course, I'm broken down in tears. And he said, right when I saw your chart, I knew exactly who you were.
Mm.
And he just literally talks to me, and. He said, how do you say it? He said, what happened to your son was not your fault.
Yeah.
Of course, I was just like bawling my eyes out. Going from like so angry to all of a sudden so vulnerable in a matter of seconds to a man who has never met me but just like saw me right where I was at.
My gosh.
He said, he's like, I can tell you're holding this. Like you... it was like such a godsend, you know, like he is my doctor, and now he's my therapist apparently, and I think we're best friends.
Seriously.
But every appointment he would just like, I felt like he shut down the place. He's like, okay, how's it going?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm doing good. He's like, okay, how are you really doing?
So
he definitely was like so real with me, so I think that's why when I came in there and I was like, I'm in labor, he's like, oh, you're not. So he thought I was just anxious, which obviously I was anxious, and that's why I wanted the epidurals. I wanted to feel no pain. I didn't want anything to take me back to Noah's birth.
Yeah.
I didn't want those flashbacks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what happened. My body's really weird, so I went from 0 to 60, which I tell, I told Manny that's what happens, but it's not typical, you know? So I went from a 1 to like ready to go in like an hour, you know? Yeah, super cute. didn't have an epidural, so every pain that I had brought me right back to Noah's delivery.
Yeah.
And so when I'm in labor, I'm quiet. I'm very quiet.
You are?
Yeah, I know, is that weird? Yeah. Not Lena's birth. Oh man, I was screaming.
Yeah.
I do not scream.
Yeah.
I was screaming. But I think it was just trauma coming back, you know? Like for Noah's delivery, I was going through all that pain for nothing is what I kept on in my head. I was telling myself, all this for what? For more pain. Bringing back to Lena's delivery, I could not convince myself that this was different. Mm. You know, I was just living in that nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, I was right back with Noah.
Yeah.
Right when she was born, like, they placed her on my chest and I couldn't even look at her. Like, I was just, like, so disassociated. Because I think in my head I was like, I can't. Like, last time this happened, my baby literally died in my arms.
Yeah.
You know? So I completely disassociated myself. But it took me a couple hours, and that girl was in my arms, and she was not leaving.
Yeah.
I think the nurse even said, it's a girl. I think if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
Kaylee. I believe she, like, screamed, it's a girl. Like, she was so excited, you know, for us. She came over later and she was like, apologize that she said it's a girl. And I was like, girl, I didn't even hear you.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a whole different world of shock.
Yeah.
Like, but she felt bad that, like, Greg didn't have that moment.
Yeah.
But I'm like, my baby was crying and breathing in my arms.
Yeah.
Nothing mattered. You could have said, it's a monkey.
Yeah.
And I would still be ecstatic, you know? But I think that Lena's. I don't like when people say that Lino is my redemption. She's right. Not my redemption.
Right.
She is, you know, my reminder of, you know, to be restored, but just the reminder of, like, life is here on earth right now.
Yeah.
But eternally, we are right. In heaven.
Like, Noah know? Was his own.
Right.
His own story, his own miracle.
Right. And this is her journey.
He is your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's the next, like, blessing the next child. It's not a replacement.
Yes,
or
he is not her identity. Right. She's a completely different child. She's a completely different
she's
mission.
Her own. Yeah.
And that child, like I said, I prayed for a happy and healthy baby. That's exactly
she's
what
so
she
happy.
Is. She is the happiest kid on the planet. I don't think I've ever met a child that is so happy. My oldest, they always struggle with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So much sleep issues. When Lena was about 6 weeks old, she started sleeping through the night. That was very uncommon for me.
You're
what
like, I'm up, I don't know what to do.
I know. Which, mind you, of course, I'm checking her every hour to make sure she's breathing, you know, hashtag trauma, you know. But the fact that my baby, you know, fourth baby, is sleeping through the night at 6 weeks old, this can't be real. But that's just who she is. Like, God was just like, you want a happy and healthy baby? Here it is. I have definitely learned that my plan is not the ultimate plan.
Yeah.
Like, my plan is literally the backseat, you know? Like,
yeah.
Get over yourself. Did I imagine that when I moved to New York, I was going to marry a local? No. Did I imagine that I would be planting roots anywhere, especially in New York?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just crazy to me how we have so much plans for our lives, and God's just like...
Yeah.
Is that right? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
just...
Yeah.
But in that, I definitely struggle with, like, with Lena's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled. I got to second trimester. That's when you're supposed to feel good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nope. Made it to third trimester. Nope. Still not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought on a new battle with people. People would see me at weddings. Oh, you're pregnant. How many do you have? How do you answer that question?
Mm-hmm.
How many do I have? How many have I had? And I would always reply, I have two girls at home. Oh, you need a boy. Yeah, and you're like, do you open your heart out to this complete stranger?
Right.
Like, actually, I've had a boy, but he died.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You just kind of laugh it off and walk away.
Yeah.
But that's another thing with people that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Hence why I do a lot of, you know, Walmart pickup and stuff like that, especially on bad days.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I feel like I walked through that with a couple of people, too. Not with... Sometimes with pregnancy, but with other things, too, of them being, like, I'm, like, not excited for this thing that, like,
uh-huh.
in culture, in, like, the world's eye, I'm, like, supposed to be excited for.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I'm human, and there's a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, oh, I got engaged. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
The amount of family things, like, whatever, that are also going around that, like, I might not just be, like, excited all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I know a lot of people have felt, like, a lot of guilt about that, too. Like, well, I'm pregnant, I should just be super excited. Or I'm engaged, so I should just be super excited or whatever. It's like, yeah, it's not just, like, black and white.
And people go through things that
like,
you have
people
no
are going
idea.
Through things you have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
What's under the surface.
Right. And I wish... I kind of wish that I can get into a time machine and talk to myself, you know, like, before, like, way before all this stuff has ever happened. Just like, hey, you know, like, not really tell myself what's going to happen, but just be like, somehow encourage, be like, okay, stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You'd be like, come back here.
Tell me what you're going to say.
I'm not letting
the
team.
Yeah, spill the tea. But I think, I don't know. If we knew what would happen in our lives, how anxious would we be? You know?
Yeah.
Or how excited would we be? Or, like, whatever is supposed to happen. Sometimes it's hard to not think that God has favorites, you know? Like, oh, so-and-so, they think they have a hard life because their shoelace came undone. Oh, is that the hardest thing you've ever been through? And then I had to mentally be like, Nikki, get yourself in check.
Yeah.
You know, like...
What's
but I think that's
the
social
surface.
Media thing in me, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh...
Yeah.
Your perfect house, your perfect marriage, your perfect motherhood, whatever.
Right.
Career and all that. But I did take a big step back in work.
Yeah.
Which I know it was God being like, okay, you need to, like, slow down.
Yeah.
But then when the economy gets, like, really crazy, I'm like, why did I slow down? I need this money.
Yeah.
But God's just like, okay, money versus mental health. Like,
yeah. Let's rest and...
Yeah. I know rest is good, but...
Yeah.
I'm also a very ambitious person, so... Kind of a struggle.
Yeah. The balance.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for having
story.
Me. Sorry, I was just hacking up the lung.
You're fine. And I know you don't like when people say that you're strong. I think I've tried to come up over the past few years with other phrasing to tell you. But I still think you're amazing. I don't care if you don't want to. No, I don't think it's about being strong.
Right.
Because I think I've said that too, probably. Like, it's not about being strong. It's about, like, being willing to be weak enough to let the Lord be strong for you.
Right.
And he has.
Right.
Like, through your story alone, through Noah's story, through how much it's reached other people, like, allowing yourself. I mean, nobody, like, wants to put themselves in a place of vulnerability.
Right.
But, like the Bible literally says, when we do that, then he is strong.
Right.
And so, like, I think that's where you're strong, is that you have allowed yourself to let the Lord do it. Do what he wants to. And I know, again, like, you wouldn't ever choose that. You
right.
didn't want to choose that. But you have allowed him, and I'm very thankful for that.
Well, thank you.
That
I would choose Noah over again.
Yeah.
And even, I feel like Noah brought us closer, too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I always knew of you, but it was Alyssa's wedding that, like,
yeah.
made me get to know you on such a deeper level so much faster.
Yeah.
You know? Like, hi, I'm Nikki. By the way, I'm going through complete turmoil.
Yeah, no, literally.
And you had to step up in ways for me for Alyssa's wedding that I couldn't be there for, you know? And I felt so much guilt in that, you know? I couldn't just do all the things that I wanted to do, you know? Like, and I felt like God purposely put you there because he knew I wasn't going to be able to be there. So, and you inspire me all the time, so.
Okay.
It's true.
You definitely put us together, though, because I needed you, too. So. Oh, so good. Well, thank you. Appreciate you.